Welcome to the Healthcare IT Today interview series. We feel lucky to be able to talk to so many smart, passionate, and knowledgeable people in healthcare. Now, we're taking our favorite interviews and sharing them with you. So sit back, relax, and enjoy perspectives on the world of health IT.
Hey everyone, I'm John Lin, the founder and chief editor at Healthcare IT Today. We're excited to bring you another in our series of interviews with top leaders in health IT. And our guest today is Chrissy Hudson. She's Senior Director of Solutions at Avility. Welcome, Chrissy.
Thanks. Great to be here. I'm so excited for you guys to have me.
Yeah, so I'm excited for this discussion. But before we dive in there, tell us a little bit about yourself and Avility.
Sure, I'd love to. So I work with Avility. I've been here about 16 years. So no stranger to the healthcare IT space, mm-hmm. but been doing rev cycle IT for almost 26.
Wow.
Was a leader of a large orthopedic group in their rev cycle. We had standalone ASCs. And really, with it being a provider-owned organization, it really helped me understand how technology can impact care and a patient's experience. And that's why I sort of came to Avility 16 years ago and haven't left. It's really, it's our why to make sure that every patient has a delightful healthcare experience, even though we're impacting more the administrative workflow. It lets those folks that are working with the patient focus on the patient.
Well, as someone who's waiting on a bill from July, I understand the pain of that.
So yes, yes.
I think, you know, the biggest topic here is really about AI. How do you envision AI, you know, what role do you see it playing in streamlining these administrative tasks that you talk about within the healthcare revenue cycle? And are there specific areas that you believe will benefit most from the AI integration?
So I'm gonna start with why I think that AI is starting to grab a little bit more, I would say, foothold in the administrative side. I think it's been there in clinical for a while. I think they were a little more progressive, and the administrative side has taken a little while. I mean, we were printing claims on dot matrix printers not that long ago, and you can probably still find it in some offices. So as you look through that, though, COVID really changed the staffing situation. And individuals that were running administrative cycles and rev cycle departments, they had to find people to help. And when you start to lose the ability to find people to fill those seats, you have to look for technology.
Yep.
And it made AI much more appealing. I talk about AI almost as being your digital assistant or your digital coworker, because you can train it through analytical AI. You can really train it to know everything that your smartest end user knows, right? And they can actually help and do some of those more repetitive tasks where you're doing things like selecting the same piece of information over and over again. And that way you can focus your higher end acuity individuals on the more advanced, you know, tasks that can't maybe be done with AI.
That's interesting. Let's dive into that a bit more.
Sure.
Like, because it is this interesting balance between technology and, you know, and humans, right?
Yes.
Because the technology is not replacing the humans, because there are more complex cases. Could you give some examples on that where AI is kind of enhancing that collaboration between human and tech?
Yes, I would love to. So I'm going to take us down the eligibility path a little bit, right? So there's eligibility and benefits. Eligibility anymore, nobody really, that's nothing fancy, right? Yeah. Eligibility is, yes, you're on this plan. But where it really gets important, you're going to go see a specialist. Let's say you're going to go see an orthopedic specialist. You're maybe going to you've got some shoulder pain. Maybe they're going to do an injection, doesn't quite help, and you're going to also have to get an MRI if that doesn't resolve it. Mm. So there you're getting multiple benefits that come into play with your eligibility. And those benefits can all be different. But understanding that injection in your shoulder, that's an outpatient procedure. Seeing your doctor is really seeing a specialist. And then your MRI is an advanced imaging procedure. That's a lot to teach a new employee. That average turnover is usually less than, like, average 10 years, 12 to 18 months, last I checked, okay? Yeah. So your person that's at the front desk looking at this, trying to be nice to you because your shoulder hurts, you're grouchy, they're trying to make decisions like, he just asked me what his bill's gonna be. I don't even know what they're gonna do to him. So AI models, especially analytical AI, can look at individuals that have had your previous appointment types, your symptom type and management, and look and say, what do we think is probably going to happen with him based on what we know previously? And they can then take tools like Avility. We supply data, right? Mm-hmm. And they can say, hey, look here, here, and here. he should have a specialist copay for $25. He should have 20% of that MRI, and he's going to have 20% of that surgical approved amount for his injection. And that you can teach the system that through repetitive learning, through the analytical AI, and really take some of that pressure off of your end users. Wow. So that their interaction with you may be 3 minutes, and 3 minutes of smiles versus 7 or 8 minutes of scrolling, I'm not sure, calling their supervisor.
No wonder the turnover is so high when you have those types of questions
exactly.
you can't answer.
So that's kind of what, that's the introductory example I give. But when you move to the back end of the revenue cycle, we could talk much more about that too, if you'd like.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's interesting. You've given us a couple good examples of AI and, and revenue cycle. But how do you see it like going forward, you know, and how is AI going to contribute to the innovation in the RCM space? You know, what potential advancements or, you know, or solutions do you think are kind of on that near future? I mean, this, you know, what you described is already available.
Yes.
But what do you see kind of coming next?
I really think it's about, I call it the shift left, right? Or the shift earlier in the process.
Okay.
And it's taking what you know about how a individual's bill and encounter in the administrative side is going to progress from the time they schedule their appointment. So being able to look forward and say, you know, they're gonna come in, we're gonna need to do some eligibility. They may have these things, and this is what we should create the claim like, right? Like, should it pose information to the doctor to say, does this individual, have they had this certain type of conservative treatment? Because if you can ask that question, and enter that within the note, it's gonna make getting an authorization for the MRI easier.
Yep.
If you can make sure that you are very specific about when the onset of this was, we know we have a lot of denials that we get about onset date or determining, did you hurt your shoulder because you actually fell at the local convenience store and it should be their fault? Or were you at home and you thought you were 18 again, right? So, and then there's not another party. So it's those type of things that can look at previous, put some of that AI, be it analytical or generative, and say, these are the encounters, these are the potholes you may hit, and then put the correct workflow and the correct triggers in place for both your clinical and administrative tasks to get those taken care of before you ever hit that pothole, right?
Yeah.
And then you shorten the time to reimbursement, you shorten the time to actually resolve that full course of care.
Yeah. How about when it comes to regulations? I mean, healthcare moves slowly, but we have a lot of regulations that are changing all the time. It's hard to keep up with them too, right? Like, so even if it moves slow, it's changing all the time, right? You know, maybe it started 3 years ago, but it's happening all the time throughout. How do you see AI's role in kind of helping an organization adapt quickly and effectively to these changing regulations and ensuring that an organization's compliant?
You know, I think that responsible AI is key. At Availity, we have very clear guidelines led by an amazing chief technology officer, Rob Laumeier, of our AI protocol. He's very invested in the community as well beyond. And I think it is about reaching across the aisle. It's about talking across the silos. We're all, there's tons of, coopetition in healthcare IT because we can lift each other up. We may run into each other from time to time, but things like making sure we have very specific protocols on when you put generative AI in place, for example, in the clinical space, you don't want to assume someone has as a condition, right? That's where at Availity, we're very focused on analytical AI and ensuring that we have very rock solid information and that we would never negatively impact the patient or their terms of care. And then you need to make sure that you're vocal about that and transparency. Transparency is key. Making sure that if someone asks you a question, when we're talking to a customer, we are very clear. There's certain things that are secret sauce, right? Like we have algorithms and we have other things that we're not gonna show you the code. That's not, and nobody really cares, but they need to understand that you're not hearing one thing and then an hour later assuming something else, right? So I think it's transparency. I think it is cooperation between multiple entities to set clear, responsible AI guidelines. And I think it's education. And those are three things that my organization really puts at the pillar of AI.
That's awesome. And how about when it comes to the balancing AI versus human touch, right? Like, you know, I think this is especially important in patient interactions because you know, these financial matters are very sensitive. Of course, I mean, I think most data in healthcare is pretty sensitive. Yes. What strategies would you propose to kind of achieve this balance between AI and computer-assisted help and the human touch?
You know, I think it's about meeting your patient where they are. Mm-hmm. And I think that humans like humans, right?
Yeah,
and I think that most of them, right? So
In healthcare.
That is true. And I think that as we look at the population, it is an aging population, right? And you have to have both. You have to have both pieces of availability, all the way from just true automation of tasks. If I go to the physician and there's a kiosk for me to check in, I'm going to do that. Very comfortable, going to enter my information, scan my card, go sit down and wait to be called back for my visit.
I prefer it. I can't have the talk to someone.
I do prefer it. But if my grandma were to come in or my dad, it's going to be a little more scary to scan that card, and it's going to be quicker for them, quicker for the practice, to be honest, if they have a person interacting with them.
Sure.
So I think it's balancing the model. The same thing comes true is when I reach the point, meeting me where I am as a patient, if I'm confused about how a bill was adjudicated, I'm confused about what my next steps in treatment, there always has to be, and I don't think we'll ever see a time in healthcare where there's not the need for the human, but you put the human on the higher acuity tasks, right? I want to talk to someone who could be a supervisor, who could be a senior level if I'm confused, because I've already tried all the manual processes.
Yeah.
And then you're able to actually, and that's more rewarding for that employee too. If I was back running my practice, my employees were so much more rewarded when they were working and solving real problems for folks rather than just, oh, hang on, they didn't put their insurance card in the right order, right? You can use AI to help somebody with that. Maybe I scan my secondary before my primary insurance card. AI would know that, hey, I'm the subscriber on this and not this. I'm going to flip it and I'm going to go, right? I don't care if I talk to a person and they tell me they changed that.
Yeah.
If we're setting up a payment plan for $5,000, I might want to talk to somebody.
Well, and to your point, it's been hard to fill a lot of those positions.
Yes.
And so if you raise the higher acuity, you can pay them more, which is easier to recruit, I think.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, as you look forward, you know, to the future, what does it look like for an organization that kind of embraces AI and maybe one that doesn't, you know, especially when it comes to RCM?
Yeah. So I think you're going to have to see some changes in staffing models.
Okay.
I think that today, I think where you see the revenue cycle department sit inside organizations could change dramatically. You could see it shift more to the financial and the IT sector, as opposed to there are still some organizations where it's setting under coding and medical records and more of those clinical type processes,
sure,
especially in the pre-registration department. And those are the areas that don't necessarily have their own IT budgets, that don't have folks with that expertise. And I think it's about centralizing an organization's approach to technology, and then within that technology, centralizing your approach to AI. Because I think what can be somewhat concerning is if it pops up ungoverned, when you're talking back to regulations, right? Even just organizations' own regulations. You don't want one form popping up here, one another here.
A little shadow IT here.
Yeah, exactly. Because then I was talking about those being our digital assistants or our digital coworkers, right? Those digital coworkers are going to run into each other because they weren't trained the same. They weren't given the same rules.
Yeah,
right?
The experience for the patient gets worse, too.
And the experience
too,
for the patient gets kludgy, yes. Everybody goes through a training program when you go into a health system, right? There's a reason that you take those training programs so that you understand how the whole system works. If things pop up in bubbles and don't have an overarching theme, it can get a little messy.
Yeah. Chrissy, this is a fascinating look at what's happening with AI and RCM. I appreciate you taking time to talk with us and share these insights and perspectives.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity. It was great chat.
And thanks everyone for watching and listening. If you want to find more great healthcare IT content like this, be sure to check it out at healthcareittoday.com or search for Healthcare IT Today on your favorite podcasting applications. Thanks, Chrissy.
Thanks again.